Man, sure appreciate both of those specials. So thankful for Christ, our Savior. And it's more than just Christmas, it's more than just His birth. It's everything that He did for us. We rejoice in today. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14 tonight. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. We finished up several weeks ago, chapter 13, and then we went back and caught kind of a middle portion there from John, and now we're back carrying on. These events that we're studying are towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, and he's gone to Jerusalem and back over to the area on the other side, Jordan, where John had baptized in the beginning, and so we're just following along with these things. But Luke chapter 14 is where we're going to take our text tonight. If you're able, let's stand together. The question tonight is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Luke 14, verse 1, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please bless the preaching of your word tonight, convict our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would have us help us to have hearts of compassion on others. Lord, that you'd help us to be loving and kind to all those that are in need. We pray that you'd forgive our sin and work in our hearts tonight, that we'd be the people that you've called us to be, do the things that you've called us to do as a church, Lord, that we would reach out to this world around us with the glorious gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. I pray for those that are not saved, that are among us tonight, that you convict their hearts, that they would come to faith in Jesus, even tonight, they would repent of their sin, put their full trust in Christ alone, and cry out to you and be saved. Pray for the saved that we would follow you in baptism and serve you in the church, and I just pray your will be done. Help me, for I'm nothing without you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was one who would go in and eat with the publicans and the sinners. He was one whose feet were washed by those of ill repute. But Jesus was also one who was a friend of sinners who didn't appear to be sinners. The Pharisees were very religious outwardly. Outwardly, the outside of their lives were very, very clean, though many of them inside, they were full of dead men's bones. They were like those whited sepulchers. And so Jesus was a friend of sinners who were obvious sinners, and he was a friend of sinners who weren't so obvious sinners. And isn't it good that he's a friend of all kinds of sinners? So when he was invited to the publican's house, he went. When he was invited to Zacchaeus' house, he said, I'm good. He invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, but when he's invited to the chief Pharisees, one of the chief Pharisees' house, he goes, and it's on a Sabbath day. And so after the services, likely they went together to have a time of refreshment, to eat bread on that day of rest. And while he was there, notice that it says in verse 1 that they watched him. They watched him. What does it mean? Did they watch him to see him, to know him, to learn from him? Or was it to try to find fault against him? This word for watch here is the same that's used in Luke 20 in verse 20. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. It's the same that's used in Acts chapter 9 when the apostle Paul is the Jews are trying to catch him. It says, after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, that's Paul, and their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And so this word that's used of watching was one that implied malicious intent. They weren't watching Jesus to see him or to know him or to learn from him. They were watching him so they could find an occasion against him. They were always watching to find fault with Jesus. Now you might think, well, that's pretty awful. These wicked watchers, they're always looking to find something wrong with Jesus. But I want you to know that our God can take the most evil intentions and turn them into something good. Amen. He can take the most evil intentions and turn it into something good. These had an intention to find something wrong with Jesus, but it just goes to add to the credibility of our Savior because they never could find anything wrong. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How long would somebody have to watch you before they'd find something to accuse against you? I mean, let's just think about it for a second. You know, our police officer friends, sometimes they do what's called a ride-along, and you can go with them and ride along with them on their shift, and you just sit in the car and hang out with them and watch what they do. What if you had somebody do a ride-along with you this week? They just hung out with you at your house and listened to the way you talk to your wife and kids, went with you when you got in the car and drove, with all those people on the highway that can't drive. Listen to the way you talk to those other drivers in the other cars. Somebody, what if you had a ride along and they listened to everything you listen to on the radio and watched everything that you watch on any screen? How long would it take somebody to ride along with you this week before they found a reason to make accusation against you? I want to tell you, just be honest, you wouldn't have to hang out with me very long before you'd find reason to find fault with me. No matter how much they watched Jesus, no matter how wicked their intentions were, no matter how much they watched him, they never could find fault with our Savior. Amen. We see the wicked watchers, they were there. By the way, the Pharisees weren't really big on hanging out with diseased people. You see, they figured everybody that had a disease, they were that way because they had done something wrong. It wasn't common, I don't think, that you would find just any given Sabbath day that this chief priest or chief Pharisee would have had a diseased person in his house, but he did this day. Did it ever occur to you that maybe the only reason the man with dropsy was there is because they brought him there because they knew Jesus would do something, right? Now, they didn't care about the diseased man. They didn't care about those that were suffering. All they cared about was finding something wrong with Jesus. They were blinded by their hatred for him. It's no different today. You see the wicked watchers, we see the diseased with dropsy. It says here that there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. Now, dropsy is a word that it's a compound word. It basically means gathered waters. And basically it's somebody who has a disease that causes water to build up somewhere. And there were different types of that. Maybe there was water that built up in the abdomen, or there was water that built up in the head, or there were different types of that. But a lot of times this was caused by liver failure, or it could have been caused by some kind of cancer, and it caused water to build up in them to the point that you could see it. You could see it. You know, in our modern day today, we have medicine to help with this. When people have fluid built up in them, we call that sometimes people have a heart disease. They have a fluid that builds up around the heart, and they put them on Lasix, or we call them, Grandma called them, water pills. Right? To get the fluid off. Well, guess what? If you don't have that, it's going to be evident that you have water built up. And so that's what this guy had. And certainly without medicine or some kind of help, sooner or later, this dropsy would have taken his life. It's sad to me that as these Pharisees looked at him, they only saw him as a tool to trip up Jesus. They didn't care about the man. But I want you to notice that we have a compassionate Savior. Jesus sees the man before him, and he speaks to the lawyers and Pharisees and says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And in verse 4 it says, and they held their peace. What's that mean? Well, Jesus says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? The reason they brought the diseased man in front of Jesus is so he would heal him on the Sabbath day and they would have reason to accuse. And so this time, Jesus just asked him up front, hey, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Hey, you lawyers, hey, you Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. Why? Because it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath day. There's nothing against the law to heal on the Sabbath day. It's good to do good on the Sabbath day. So they couldn't say anything. In Luke chapter 23, verses 14 and 15, Pilate's examination of Jesus says, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Pilate would go on to say, I find no fault in this man at all. The Pharisees watched him. They were the wicked watchers. Pilate examined him, and nobody could ever find anything wrong in what Jesus did. They held their peace because there's nothing they could say. And our Bible says here in verse 4, it simply says, he took him and healed him and let him go. He healed him and let him go. You suppose that that man had been to physicians? You suppose he had been to the priest? You suppose that he'd made sacrifice hoping that God would heal him? You suppose that he had cried out to God for healing day after day? I love the fact that no matter what wrong intentions men have, Jesus Christ still brings out the best good. Amen. They just wanted to use this guy as a pawn in their war against Jesus. And Jesus heals the man and lets him go. Let me just take care of this for you. Is there anything wrong with healing on the Sabbath day? No. Well, he heals him and sends him on his way. I don't know about you, but when I study things like this, I often wonder what happens to people. You know, sometimes the Bible tells us that they went their way rejoicing, or they went back to their place rejoicing, or they pleaded with Jesus to go with them, or whatever the case may be. But this man left, and I just wonder how his life was changed. He was healed of his dropsy, but did he now believe in Jesus? Did he go home and tell his family about Jesus? I wonder what kind of impact the healing of Christ had on him. And it makes me think about the impact his healing has had on me. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 is familiar to you, I'm sure. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't get tired of doing what's right. Keep sowing good seed. And he goes on in verse 10 and says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. See, we're either like the Pharisees, looking around trying to find something wrong with everybody else, always looking for an accusation to make against somebody, or the one who is diseased, who's in desperate need of healing, or we can be like our Savior. We can be like our Savior, who is always compassionate, looking to do good to others and to help other people. And as much as lies in us, we ought to seek opportunity to do good to everybody that we can. And you know what? We have a lot of opportunity to do good. Jesus had compassion. Verse 5 says, and answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. You know, I think that our world's getting pretty crazy. I mean, it's been this way for a long time. Save the trees and kill the children. Like the same people picketing, trying to save some spotted owl in a forest somewhere, the same people that picket and want women to have the right to murder their unborn children. I mean, that's crazy to me. It's crazy to me. But you know that's not new? It's not new. These were some of the most religious people on the planet, the Pharisees, chief Pharisees. And what did they say? You shouldn't heal him. It's the Sabbath day. Heal him on a different day. Let him suffer. Let him possibly die. Well, at the same time, if their donkey falls in the ditch, they'll do whatever they can to rescue it. They cared more about their livestock than they did about the lives of human beings. And I want you to get that, because the children of the devil are the same in every generation. And people today care more about their animals than they do about people. We're talking earlier a little bit, and I don't know if some of you may have seen this, but there's a channel on YouTube called Living Waters, and there's soul-winning encounters where they go around and preach the gospel to people. And one of the questions they ask sometimes is, just imagine this. Your dog and your neighbor both fall into a swimming pool. They're both drowning. You only have time to save one of them. Which one do you save, your dog or your neighbor? And I can't tell you how many people they interviewed and asked that question to answered with this: which neighbor? Right? Now, if they were joking, that would be funny. If you live next to me, that's not funny. Right? If I'm on one side, but here's the thing. It's not funny because they weren't joking. Several of those people were serious when they said, I would save my dog and I would let my neighbor drown. I love my dog. I don't even know my neighbor. You see, we live in a world today, and it's no different, because these Pharisees were the exact same kind of people. They cared more about their livestock than they did about people. And there are people in our society today that care more about their pets than they do about other human beings. I got news for you. You might get sad when Fido dies, but when Fido dies, that's it. He's done. Fido doesn't have a soul. His spirit doesn't go on forever. I'm going to get in trouble with some of you and your kids, but I don't care. They need to know the truth. Human beings have a soul that goes on forever and ever. And when human beings die, their spirit will either spend eternity in eternal death in hell, separated from God forever, or their spirit will spend eternity in heaven, alive forevermore with Jesus. And the difference is whether they believe in Jesus while they're alive or not. It's crazy to me that people care more about an animal than they do about a person. And I don't care what person it is. You think about the most wicked person you can imagine. You want to think about Adolf Hitler or Osama bin Laden or whichever one you want to throw out there. Their life was more valuable than all the animals that have ever lived. How can you say that? They were horrible, evil, wicked people. Because Jesus Christ created them. He gave them life. And Jesus Christ gave his life for them. And Jesus Christ gave you life. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. Listen to me. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They could watch all they wanted to, and they would never find anything wrong with what Jesus said or what Jesus did. And we have that record today. You see, they meant it for evil, but he worked it out for good. Just like he did with Joseph and his brothers. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive. And what did Jesus Christ do? They wanted to find some wrong. They meant it for evil, but he worked it out for good. And he does the same in our lives today. Tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, will you stand with me, please? When you read a book, there's usually a hero. When you read a book, you usually identify yourself with somebody in the story. When you watch a movie or whatever, and most of us, we want to be the hero, right? We want to identify with the hero. When I study the scriptures, I want to be like the good guy. I want to be like Jesus. I know I'm like the diseased man who's been healed. I know that. But I want to be like him. I want to have compassion. I want to care about other people. But I think if we're honest tonight, if we're really, really honest with ourselves and before God tonight, we're in far greater danger of being like the Pharisees than anybody else in the story. Because we are far more likely to look for reasons to make accusation against other people than we are to have compassion and do good to other people. By the grace of God, let us be like Jesus. Let us have compassion on others and do all that we can to bring them to Christ. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart tonight, you need to be saved. You've been saved, but you need to be baptized. You've got somebody that you know that isn't saved, and you want to have the courage and compassion to take the gospel to them. Whatever it is, if the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart tonight, you come right now while we sing.
Page 5.
Holy Spirit, speak.